According to her dad, Hannah was suffering from a school bully. The oldest student wanted Hannah to prepare for battle. "Any day now, Hannah, I'm coming after you." Hannah didn't flinch. Hannah didn't cry. Hannah didn't collapse. She simply informed the perpetrator about this fact. "You do what you need to do," she said. "But I just want you to know this. God is on my side." In the end, her faith pulled her through. "God is on my side" was the last words Hannah said. But it was enough. There were no more threats ever made. Now, school bullies don't await us, but other things in our lives do. And we do have challenges, as Hannah faced. But like Hannah, we can say God is on our side. But we need to have that full rested assurance that God is on our side. We can say it, but whether we believe it isn't a totally different thing. And for the last few weeks, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I really believe God wants us to focus more and more and more on the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. And I believe that all the sessions are on the internet now. I think they're all up there now. And so you can go and listen to them and recap again, because it's important for you to realize that God is on your side. God is on your side. That does not mean to say we will be free from troubles. Hannah, as a young schoolgirl, faced the bullies of her school. But she said, "Do what you need to do, but just know this, God is on my side." This is what Charles Spurgeon had to say. "It is an extraordinary power from God, not talent, that wins the day. It is extraordinary spiritual unction, not extraordinary mental power we need. Mental power may fill a chapel, but spiritual power fills a church. Mental power may gather a large congregation, but only spiritual power will see souls saved. What we need is spiritual power." We have a great set of musicians here. But as good as they are, they need an unction of the Holy Spirit. Nothing in our lives can ever substitute from that need of the Holy Spirit. This is what Max Licudo says. "The Holy Spirit, invisibly yet indispensably, also serves as a rudder for the ship of your soul. It keeps you afloat and on track." And I think that's a lovely way of describing the Holy Spirit. It is a rudder for our soul. And if you remember a few months ago, I spoke on the soul. In fact, the sermon was called, "What is the condition of your soul?" Because the soul is what wants to be influencing your mind and your body and controlling everything that God has given us. And yet the soul needs to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It may be invisible. And do you remember we talked about that last Sunday, about how the Holy Spirit was invisible, and we showed you those two videos. But we see the powerful experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just as we talked about wind last week, we don't see it, but we certainly know when it's around. And I need to encourage you this morning that, like Hannah, God is on your side. And He has given us this Holy Spirit for our journey on life. We were never meant to live a life solo. That doesn't mean to say we have to get married. We just do that. But it does not mean to say that God's intended us. If you're a single person, that's okay. That's not what God is saying. God says, "I never intended you to be solo," in the sense that you need me to guide and infiltrate your life. We need the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit. And that's what God promised to His disciples. He said to them, "I'm going to send you someone exactly like me." They'd had Him for 3 years. We've never had the privilege of what these disciples had. And yet, with all the teaching, with all the instruction, with all the times they were being with Him, Jesus knew these people could not make their lives without something of Himself. And the wonderful thing is that God has given us His Spirit. Hannah knew that. Hannah could walk into a school playground, as young as she was, and say those lovely words. "Do what you need to do. I just wanted to let you know God's on my side." Young boy called David, and we've talked about that in the series, how David slew Goliath. But David didn't really slew Goliath. God slew Goliath. He used David, and David knew. And David said to Goliath, "You've come with all your strength and your shields and all the natural ability in the world, Goliath. But I come with you in the name of Jesus, because I've got God on my side. And one stone slew the mighty giant." And what does Ephesians 1:13-14 say to us? "You were sealed in Him, the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge for our inheritance." You were marked. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's why God wants us to have His sealing of the Holy Spirit. What does a seal do? It does two things. It declares ownership and it secures the contents. Now, for instance, I did a letter a few weeks ago, and normally what I do, I spend a bit extra money and I send it by red-chested post. But the girl was on holiday, and so I said, well, she's in Egypt. It's like you were. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to send her by registered post because obviously there's no one to sign it. So I thought, I'll have to take the chance. So I put the voucher inside her birthday card, put the lips, sealed it, and posted it. When they came back from Egypt, I said, did you get your birthday card? They said, no. 2 weeks later, I get a text saying, got your birthday card. It's obviously been ripped open and resealed with tape, and the voucher's not there. So, I don't know who did it. But you see, point is, they had to break that seal. Because that seal on that envelope declared that that card was meant for my friend. It had her name written on it. The gift inside was meant for her. It was actually saying, leave this card alone because this card belongs to Sharon Dunn and the contents in this card belongs to Sharon Dunn. And I seal it as a content. So sealship means, one, that you have an ownership, and two, there are contents. We know that by the sealing of the tomb. What they did in the olden days is they sealed the tomb. What it actually meant, by the way, was, listen, this tomb belongs to Rome, and so does the contents in it. And that's why they sealed it. It sealed it for one of ownership, and that the contents of that ownership belong to the person who sealed it. I want to thank God that that seal couldn't prevent Jesus from raising from the dead. But that's what the actually stone was saying. Leave this stone alone. It belongs to Rome, and so does the contents in that tomb. The story is quite simple. They wanted the tomb sealed, to let people know no entrance. And God has sealed us with his seal. It declares that I belong to Jesus. The Holy Spirit came into my life, it declared ownership of my life. And the contents is me. And God is saying, listen, you need me like Hannah because I'm on your side. I want you to be encouraged today that I have sealed you, my ownership upon you. You belong to me. Now, we obviously offered Sharon to obviously pay her card and et cetera, et cetera. And actually, it was Katie's birthday. And so I said, listen, I don't want to have to repeat this exercise again. And so we settled for a voucher which I could send by email. So I don't think you can do pretty harm unless somebody gets into my email. So she should have a birthday card. Her birthday present yesterday. It's sad when you have to go to these lengths, isn't it? You know, but that letter just simply said to Sharon Dunn, she was the owner. Everything inside that envelope belonged to Sharon Dunn. God says, I've sealed you, Lisa. I've sealed you. You belong to me. Everything inside belongs. Aren't you excited that you belong to Jesus? Smile, please. Come on. I don't know what life's got to face me. But this I do know. I'm sealed. I have an ownership. And it doesn't matter if the Satan wants to break the seal. He cannot break the seal. He cannot break it. It's why I popped out while at the Dunn Communion. The song just came in. And I just think we should know it. His forever. Only his. Who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss. Christ has filled my loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee. Firstborn light and gloom decline. But while God and I shall be, I am his and he is mine. Hallelujah. I am his and he is mine. I am loved with an everlasting love. I'm led by grace that love to know. The Spirit moves from above. It has taught me that is so. All this full and perfect peace. All this transport, all divine. In a world, in a love which cannot cease. I am his and he is mine. I am sealed this morning. Do you know his love? Do you know his love? As the Holy Spirit said to you, you are signed, you are sealed, you are ready for delivery when the Master comes. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to assure you this morning, you belong to him. The Holy Spirit's just a word of prayer away. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. He desires to speak to you. He was given to speak to you. He seals you. He is your ownership and all that is. But that's not all the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit also says we are shielded by God's power. The Greek translated, kept by the power of God, employs a military term. It means it's a guard. It relates to the protection of a city by means of a garrison. That's what the word power means in this context. It means that just as you live inside a city in the old Roman times, so the walls of that city protected you from any harm. And that's why they used to build huge walls. Remember the walls of Jericho? They felt they were very safe in the walls of Jericho. It was a fortified city which was kept by the power of the walls around that city until he came in front of the guard. God, of course. And that's what God means. God not only says, have I sealed you, Mary, you are now under my ownership and all that is in you, but I'm going to keep you just like a garrison keeps its people within the wall. Mary, I will keep you. I will protect you. I will save you. I will be with you wherever you go. You can walk like Hannah, knowing, listen, enemy, do what you want. Know this, God is on my side. God is on my side. It's a wonderful picture of the power of God. And God sends His angels. You have a guardian angel. You don't see them. And I know sometimes he gets off the bonnet because you do more than 70 miles an hour, love. But listen, I can't help that. But you just jump off the bonnet when you do 70 miles an hour. Now, the angel doesn't bother getting on Mary's bonnet because he knows there's no point. He's just got to jump off again. But listen, we have a guardian angel. We are standing on holy ground. We've got to get some truth into us. We've got to be starting to be people who know who we are. Not arrogant people, but confident people. We are kept like a garrison. We are kept by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wherever we face, wherever we go, whatever happens to us, let you know this, God has got a wheel of protection around us. And there was a story of two missionaries. And these two missionaries didn't realize it, but they were telling people about Jesus. And so the leader of this gang said to his people that night, we're going to go there and we're going to burn them down. Many years later, they bumped into this couple and they said, do you know something? He said, we came to attack you. We came to get into your house and kill you and break down. But I want to know, just answer me this please. Who on earth were the people surrounding that house that night that stopped us getting anywhere near you? He said, there's no people. There's always just being my husband. He said, no. He said, we came to attack you. And when we came to attack you, he said, there was a force around you. There were people around you stopping you getting anywhere near you. I believe it was God's angels. We are protected by the power of a living God. You go to sleep at night, we have an angel. It's wonderful to know. God hasn't left us. God's great power. And this is the power. And I tell you why we should be excited. Because the Greek word for power is the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you remember that tomb I've just talked about where Rome said, this is my tomb and the contents in it were my tomb and nothing can break this seal, but the power of the Holy Spirit broke the seal that night and bang, up from the grave he arose. And the Bible says it's the same Spirit that keeps you, Mary, day by day. It's the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. What a fantastic Spirit I've got inside me. And I tell you, I can't think of anything more powerful than a Spirit that can raise someone from the dead and just roll the tomb away, not to let Jesus out, but to let you in so you can see he's gone. Oh, we need to get excited. We need to cry for this Holy Spirit more and more and more and more and more. It is not because we Pentecostal wacky and weird swinging off chandeliers. That's how we used to be known when I was young. Mom would say, for goodness sake, keep away from that lot. They are wacky and weird and all the stuff that goes on in there. No, it's not. It's that we should know the power that God has given us. We should understand that God has not left us to be orphans, but He wants to saturate us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why this service on May the 20th that's coming, it's got to be a really great service, because I'm praying the Pentecostal fire of God will come on Pentecostal Sunday and do something amazing. I believe this church needs a saturation of the Holy Spirit. I really do. I believe we need to be blown away by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe what will change our community is not more fancy sermons or more fancy worship, but an outpouring of God's Spirit upon us. And young men could come away from America totally disheartened, totally despondent, and just go into an upper room. And in London, they went, just sat in an upper room in London, crying out to God about the stuff that had gone on and how it hadn't worked in America. And suddenly the power of the Holy Spirit hit that little room. By 5, 6, 7 young men, they went out of that upper room and changed England. His name was John Wesley and Charles Wesley, George Whitefield. Read about their life stories. 1909, a young man came out of the Methodist Church. He was so thirsty for God. And God's Holy Spirit hit him. And he went to every town in England. He would start off hiring every town hall. There would be 3 or 4 people would come the first night. By the end of 7 days, people were walking around, queuing round to get into the hall. And in Birmingham it happened. His name was George Jeffries. He's the founder of our movement. What made the difference? George Jeffries was preaching the same stuff. D.L. Moody preached wonderful, wonderful sermons. One day was walking down the road and the Spirit of God hit him. A power of God. He said it was so tangible. I cried to God. He said, please stop, God. I can't take no more of this power that you're filling me with. The next Sunday morning, I preached the same sermon, but thousands came to know Christ. I believe what made the difference with Billy Graham is not that his sermons were brilliant. It's just that Billy Graham was an anointed man of God. I stood beside him as he came to Sunderland, and we went on to that great pitch at Roker Park, and it was thunder and lightning. I tell you something, it was a bit scary, and it was absolutely pouring down with rain. And I mean pouring down with rain. And you can tell you, we know what it's like rain in the Northeast. We know how good it is. And it just was saturating the pitch. And at the end of the sermon, Billy Graham says, I'd like you to get out of your seats, and God has spoken to you tonight. I'd like you to come onto the football field in the pouring torrential rain. And I thought to myself, I was one of the people who were counseling. I thought, well, this isn't going to take long. We were there for hours. It was so bad. You put your pen on their name, and ink just ran straight down the paper. Ever been where you're trying to write in rain? Thousands. They cried out over the tannoy, as sure as I'm standing here, is there any more counselors, please? It was the power of a living God. They said to him, you know the reason why people come out, Billy? It's because you play that nice organ. Just as I am. The choir's singing there, Billy, and they're all romantically, and so they're coming out. But Billy said, okay, next night nobody sings. Nobody does anything. I'll just make the appeal. More people came out that night than had come out before. The spirit of the living God. And the wonderful thing is, it's not meant just for Billy Graham. It's meant for you and you and you. If you're thirsty, I'm kept by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm signed and sealed and I'm kept. This is a favorite verse of mine, but I believe it fits in well. How can we have failed to have spiritual victory if we allow this power to fill our lives? Christ, who's begun a good work in me, will carry it on till the day of completion, till the day when Jesus comes again. You say, I'm confident in this, that Christ has begun a good work, because I still sin. I've still got this old nature inside me. Someone prayed today, I think it was Rob during communion, we often fail you, God, but you still love us. I heard that prayer this morning. I want to tell you something. The day we think we don't, then we're on dangerous ground. We've still got an old nature which still sometimes does things that we shouldn't do. Well, let's be real. We have two natures. We have this old nature which says, you know, just sin. And we've got this new nature which is saying, don't sin. And there's a tension coming on between us. And the more we grow in faith and the more we want the Holy Spirit to saturate our lives, the more we walk in the Spirit. Because the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In other words, God knows we'll fulfill the desires of flesh because it's our nature. And God knows that. So he says, I'm going to give you something, Lee, so to help you not to have the sinful nature in your life. But what I'm saying is this. God is saying, I know you. I know you're weak. I know you're weak. I'm going to give you something. When you walk in it, when you live in it, when you pray in it, when you ask for it, it's going to help you to live a better life for me. And that's why I'm saying you're not meant to live a solo life. We are meant to live in accordance with the Holy Spirit. And God says, listen, as long as you're here, David Lawson, every day I'm confident that I can do a work in you. I'm confident in this. And I'm telling you, David, you'll never get to an end of the journey. I'll always, till the day that you die, 2037. Until the day that you die, I will always be with you. You won't get to that age, darling. You'll be raptured. But it's true, isn't it? I am confident in this one thing, that he that's begun a good work in me, will continue to do it until the day he comes again or I go home. His forever. Shout it out. His forever. I'm only his because I'm signed and sealed with the Holy Spirit. William MacDonald had this to say. Sorry, there's a verse in There is a verse I want to put up first. Jude 24. Let's say this together. He is able to present you blameless. And this is the next thing I wanted to tell you as we're coming to a close. Not only are you signed and sealed, not only do you have the power, but God has the qualification to take you right to the end. He is able. Able. Now, we've had two relegations on the trot at Sunderland Football Club. I know you don't like talking about football, but no, they keep saying there's no one able to save this club. No one is able. That's the key word they're using. No one is able. Isn't it wonderful to know that we've got a God who is able? He was able. He's fully qualified to take you right to the very end of life and to present you what? Faultless. Faultless. I don't know how he's going to do it, love, but I mean, he's going to do it, love. He's going to present you faultless, faultless before his Father. Can you imagine walking up to God the Father one day and Jesus says, he's never done anything wrong. Never done anything wrong. Isn't that wonderful? Divine has never done anything wrong. And a young man sitting there thinking, what? What? I can give you a list now.
But God's saying, I'm sorry, mate. Davina, she's perfect at my side. And you're saying, have you lived with her? Sorry, Davina, I know you're perfect. But he's simply saying, you know why? Because when he looks at Davina, he doesn't see Davina. Who does he see? This is Jesus. And when Satan comes in front of the Father's throne and says, look at him, look at her, Jesus says, I'm looking at someone who's purchased with the precious blood of my son. I see the blood of Jesus. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. And so therefore, my son's right. I'm in fault with the throne of grace. I'm excited about the Holy Spirit. I'm just excited that I know, because I know who I am. I know what I'm like. Seriously, I know what I'm like. Rob's prayer this morning just really just meant exactly what I was thinking this morning as this message. I often fail God. Often fail him. To think that one day he'll say to me, come and see my Father, and I'm giving you a white garment, and I'm presenting you faultless before my Father. This is what William MacDonald said. Oh, thank you, Katie. He is able to make us stand faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And that's why I want you to this morning to sing with exceeding joy this morning. David knew this. David, who long didn't have salvation, we had it, looked at God and he could sing with exceeding joy because David knew what it was like to be delivered from his enemies. He brought a Goliath down. He could sing exceedingly joy. This is truly stupendous. When we think of what we were, dead through our trespasses and sins, when we think of what we are, poor, weak, failing people, then to think that one day we stand absolutely faultless in the throne room of the universe, rejoicing, joy and grace. The trouble is sometimes I think we forget where we've come from. No wonder Christ cries out to us, is there anybody thirsty? I want you to drink deeply from the truth this morning that God is able to keep you from falling, even in our own weakness as humans. Forgot to say this for the benefit of Ian. That was a one finally. This is now a finally. Okay, just because I know he likes to keep record of the finals. So here it is. Finally. The Spirit comes in aids of our weakness. This is what it says. Come on, let's say it. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, this thing, I don't even have to get upset if I can't find words to say. Holy Spirit says, it's okay, Liesl, because I know what you're thinking. I know what's wrong with you, and I'll tell you something, Liesl. I'm off to my Father now. I'm off to your Father. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us even when we haven't got a clue of what we want to do or our situation? And he always acts with God's will. So we know whatever he's pleading before the throne of grace is, it's going to be accepted. So in your weakness, when you say, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say, God help me, the Holy Spirit said, that's exactly what I'm doing. And the more you have of the Holy Spirit, the better it is. We are weak-willed. But the Spirit pleads. Have you any idea in heaven what that must be like? The Holy Spirit is constantly at the Father's throne, saying, this is what Mary needs, this is what Margaret needs, this is what Heather needs, this is what they need. Father, this is what they need. They can't express it to you, but I'm pleading on their behalf. I'm pleading. I'm groaning. Something inside the Holy Spirit is so desperate to get to the Father's throne for you that it's pleading. Please answer Dulcie's prayer. Please answer Dulcie. We knew what the Spirit was doing for us today. Signed me, sealed me. It's ready to deliver me. I have its power to protect me like a garrison. It's working for me. And in the midst of all my weaknesses, it's saying, Eddie, I have a voice of influence in heaven. And I want wonderful to know. I have a voice in heaven with influence. Oh, that takes weakness to strengthen, doesn't it? Well, I'm excited about the Holy Spirit anyway. I'm so happy that I have a voice of influence. Not my voice, but a voice that says, Ed, in the midst of all that you're going through, when you don't know whether to turn right or to turn left, it's okay, because I'm praying for you. And not only that, I know exactly what to say to God. Because I don't know about you, but I sometimes don't know what to say to God. But God does. In fact, let's do it. Finally. Okay, Amen. He turns our petitions and tears into entreaties before the throne of grace where you are absolutely certain to get heard. I think that's a lovely phrase. He turns my sighs, petitions and tears into entreaties at the throne of grace where it's guaranteed to be heard. And so therefore, like Hannah, you can tell the world, do whatever you need to do, but just remember this, say it. God, hallelujah. Hope I've encouraged you this morning. What the Spirit wants to do, seek him, get thirsty for him. Hannah was a young schoolgirl. Maybe she didn't know her Bible. Maybe she didn't know all sorts of stuff. She was just a young schoolgirl. But she knew this. God was on her side. I wonder if you know God this morning as we close with a prayer. I wonder if you really, really, really know God. I wonder if you're sitting there and thinking to yourself, well, I don't really experience all this power and this security and this help. Well, the Holy Spirit's only a prayer away. So there are two prayers this morning. If you don't know God at all, but you'd like to know God, and you know that God is not on your side because you don't know God, then you can know God this morning. God says we have to admit that we're sinners, that we have done stuff wrong, and
in our lives, and that God has provided a way of forgiveness, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood. We are prepared to accept God's terms, which is to ask God to forgive you on the basis that Jesus died for you. Then God will accept you, and God will be on your side, and God will give you this Holy Spirit which we've been talking about this morning. You need to come to an acceptance that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior, and that you will invite Him into your heart and surrender your life. I'm going to pray that prayer now, and if you want to pray that prayer, you just say that prayer to you, and then we're going to pray a prayer as we finish for those who are thirsty for the Holy Spirit. Father, I don't know you, but I've heard this morning that I can. I thank you that Jesus died for my sin and rose again. Father, I am a sinner, but I ask you to forgive me on the basis of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. I surrender my life to you, and I thank you that because I have asked, I have received your forgiveness, your Holy Spirit. If you've said that prayer, welcome to the family of God, and the Holy Spirit is living inside you. Those of you who know the Spirit of God but like to know it more, it's just a simple prayer, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds for you just to say to God, Holy Spirit, I'd like you to give me more assurance of my salvation. Or Holy Spirit, I'd like to know more of your power. Or Holy Spirit, I'd like to know more of the fortress in which you pick. I don't know what you need from the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you just need to be more thirst for God. Before we take the offering up and the song and a video, you don't have to sing the song on this video. I'm giving you that 30 seconds. Come to God and just ask God whatever you need through the Holy Spirit. Believing that God wants to give you all that we've talked about this morning. Because God is on your side.